Welcome to St. Mark's this morning. Today we observe and praise God for the baptism of our Lord, the time that God installed Jesus into his full-time public ministry. And it's important for us to understand that we know who our Savior is because God has revealed him to us. This day is also important because it is God keeping his promise. God prophesied long ago through the prophet Isaiah that he would do this, reveal his Son as Savior of the world. We find great comfort in our Savior Jesus and in celebrating his baptism today. The order of service that we'll follow is printed completely for you in the worship booklet for this morning. At some point this morning, if you'd like to, you can read up on the order of worship, morning praise, on the introduction material in your worship booklet. Our opening hymn for this morning is hymn 709. Let us worship the Lord.
Worship continues on page 4 in the worship booklet for this morning. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips, hasten to save me, O God. The glory of Christ is revealed. Let us worship Him.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Please be seated. We join together in singing the Psalm of the Day responsibly by half verse. There are some typos as far as what is in bold print and what is not. I will sing the first half of the verse up to the star, and then the congregation is invited to respond with the second half of the verse. The Psalm of the Day is Psalm 2.
As it was in body.
The first lesson is recorded in Isaiah chapter 49. It was always God's will and plan that Jesus would come to be the servant of the world, not just God's chosen people, but also the servant and savior of the Gentiles as well. We see this prophecy fulfilled in the gospel for today. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.'" This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Acts chapter 16, another fulfillment of that prophecy that we had shared with us through the prophet Isaiah. We also see the joy and comfort it brings when people are baptized into their Savior Jesus. The perfect life he lived for them, the innocent death he died for them, the blessings of baptism. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. The hymn of the day for this morning is hymn 89. the peace of God be with you, his people, who have been baptized into his love, into his Son, your Savior Jesus. I'm sure you probably received these in the mail. They start out, you can see it right in the window, it says something about you have been pre-qualified. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and I understand that some of you are going to say, you know, Pastor, your terminology is a little suspect, and I don't know if you really understand what you're talking about, and this is really how this all works. And I understand, and Mrs. Taylor will be happy to take those calls on Monday morning, and you can tell her all about it. But you get these pieces of mail, and you open them up, and you start to look at them. This is one that came to our house this last week, and it's for a home equity line of credit, a HELOC. And right there it says, you've been pre-qualified for a special offer on a HELOC. I think, wow, that's kind of neat. That's a good deal, I guess. And then the more time you spend with this, the more you think, well, I don't know if this is really true. And I don't really know what all these terms mean. And I don't really understand how this is going to happen. Because you start reading on this, and this says, if you lived in Florida or Alabama, you would get a better rate than you would if you live in California. And why is that? And how is that fair? And then you go back and you take a second look and you start reading a little more critically, and it says, you've been pre-qualified for a special offer on a home equity line of credit. There is no guarantee that you are actually going to qualify for this line of credit. And then you have to read the entire front, the entire back, and you get way down to the bottom. And in the way bottom, it says, this offer is not guaranteed if you do not meet our criteria. So wait a minute. Am I pre-qualified or not? Am I going to get this offer or not? Now, to be fair, I understand why there's so many qualifications. I understand why they have to do credit. I understand why you have to put up the assets in order to qualify for this. But wouldn't it be nice if pre-qualified meant pre-qualified? You know, there was a time when it meant just that. And it was at Jesus' baptism. At Jesus' baptism, God pre-qualified his Son to be the Savior of the world. And it's interesting to note that this was before Jesus had a chance to do anything. This was Jesus' installation. This was his inauguration. He hadn't done a thing yet. But God made a pretty big, bold claim about his Son. This is an extraordinary pre-qualification event. God said of Jesus, he is pre-qualified to be the Savior of the world. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now I can't imagine if a HELOC worked that way. There was no credit check. There was no credit history being done. You didn't have to put up any of your assets to get this money. I don't think any of us would do that for $50. Even if we knew someone really well, maybe not even for five. But that's exactly what God did with his Son. God said, this is my Son whom I love. He is pre-qualified to be the Savior of the world. And God said that because that was always his plan, wasn't it? Right from the very beginning, God had a solution to the world's problem. And the solution to the world's problem was to have his Son, true God, become true man. And this man would follow all the rules. He would follow all the laws. This man would earn himself a perfect spiritual credit score, and there would be no dings, no red flags, no black marks on his credit report, on his history. He would be fully qualified to be the Savior of the world. So God spoke from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And was Jesus on board with this plan? Did this catch Jesus off guard on this day, on his installation, on his inauguration day? Not after what the prophet Isaiah shared with us. Jesus was in on this plan from the beginning. Jesus agreed to be the servant who would love and save the world. We have this recorded for us in the first lesson today. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." And don't we have the advantage of looking back and seeing how that all happened? God lays this out in the history of his son's life, suffering, and death for us. Jesus was born, became a human being, just like we got done celebrating, right? Just like the angel said, you're going to give him the name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And he did. He followed all of God's laws perfectly. He kept every single law and rule perfectly. And God said, because his son is also true God, that gets to count for everyone. That gets to count for the world. And in order to love and serve the world, Jesus let people do terrible things to him. They tormented him and tortured him. They crucified him, nailing him to a cross where he experienced damnation itself, the separation from God and his love and his faithfulness and his promises. And that counted for you, that counted for me, that counted for the world. At Jesus' baptism, God pre-qualified his son to be the Savior of the world. God also gave John the Baptist that assurance about Jesus. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And did you catch what John said about Jesus? He hadn't done a thing yet. But John said, if you come back to him, he will love you and forgive you. Because he knew even before Jesus did anything that Jesus was going to bring that perfect spiritual credit score. That he was going to have that perfect spiritual credit history. That he would come with all the assets of heaven. His perfect life, his innocent death, to be the Savior of the world. And what if he was wrong? What if John the Baptist was wrong? I mean, can you just imagine the kind of people who came out to him? This horde of sinners, adulterers, liars, robbers, thieves, people who hate, people who hurt, people who betray, people who backstab, people who are not perfect parents, people who are not perfect kids, people who sinned against God every day and in every way. These are the kinds of people who came out to John the Baptist to be baptized. Can you imagine what their spiritual credit score was? Did these people come with anything to bring to Jesus? The only thing these people were pre-qualified for was eternal torment in hell. The punishment that God is very upfront about is the punishment for sin and sinfulness. And what if John the Baptist was wrong? But he's not, because there are no what ifs. At this extraordinary pre-qualification event, at Jesus' baptism, God took all those what-ifs out of the picture. God pre-qualified his son to be our Savior, to be the world's Savior, and he is, and he was. And when those people came to John the Baptist, they were baptized into the name of the Savior who was coming. They were baptized into his life and into his death. So they stood before God as perfect people with perfect spiritual credit scores, with perfect assets, perfectly qualified for heaven because of who Jesus was. You know, if you were to look at yourself and identify with someone in this horde of sinners who came out to John the Baptist, who would it be? If you were going before God, what would it be in your spiritual credit report that would really trouble you and have you nervous? That would have you thinking, no way, am I going to go repent and confess my sins to God? Not with what I'm bringing. Is that how it went at all with the jailer that we read about in the second lesson? I mean, there was a guy whose conscience was terrified. There was a guy who realized he needed something if he was going to stand before God someday. And when he came to Paul and Silas, did they say, you know what? No, get out of here. Go back. Go get some spiritual credit counseling and come back when you have at least a 740 or better. Go back when your credit history is clear of all those black marks, red flags, dings, whatever you want to call them in your credit report, and then maybe we'll talk. That's not how it happened at all. He didn't have to go pre-qualify himself and then come back and ask for forgiveness. Here's how it happened. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. There was no spiritual credit counseling involved. There was no go back and fix that credit score number. There was no go pre-qualify yourself. He was pre-qualified because God pre-qualified his son to be his savior. And when the word of God worked faith in his heart, he benefited from everything Jesus was. He then gained Jesus' perfect credit score, Jesus' perfect life, Jesus' innocent death. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. My brothers and sisters in Jesus, isn't that true for you too? Regardless of what's in your past, regardless of what red flags, black marks might be on your spiritual credit history with God, regardless of the fact that you and I come before God with absolutely no assets in our hands, deserving nothing, and you know your credit history with God, I know mine, but God would have you know, he sent his son for you. He pre-qualified Jesus for you. And he gives you his son's credit score. It's perfect. It's faultless. It's excellent credit history with God. And when you are baptized into Jesus, you have all the assets that Jesus accumulated and possessed from all eternity. You have kept God's law perfectly. You have suffered and died and experienced hell for your sins because Jesus did that for you in your place. And that's what you get to bring before God. There is no what if. What if God does not have me back? Because he does. There is no what if I'm not good enough? Because you're perfect in Jesus. What if my credit score isn't good enough? There are no what ifs. God pre-qualified his son to be your savior. God has pre-qualified you to be his child. And so when you, by God's grace, are called to repentance, called to have that change of mind about something you're doing, that change of heart about something you value, and God, by his grace, turns you back to God, you see your Savior, you see your forgiveness, you see heaven. And you know who else is pre-qualified to benefit from everything that Jesus has won and secured for you and for me? Your neighbor. Not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood kind of neighbor, the people that you live by, but everybody that you come into contact with. Your neighbor has been pre-qualified by God as well. And doesn't that kind of change the way that you view your neighbor and the way that you think about him or her? Maybe even the way that he or she has hurt you or harmed you, or the way that that person makes you feel, and the way you want to act to that person, and the things you want to say to that person. as if somehow you get to treat that person differently than Jesus has treated that person. As if somehow the fact that Jesus lived and died for your neighbor doesn't mean anything, and you get to go do and say whatever you want to whomever. We get to love our neighbor the way that Jesus loved our neighbor, because that soul is no less pre-qualified for heaven than you or I am. And then it comes back to the great message of the Epiphany. Isn't one of the greatest things you could do for your neighbor is to reveal your Savior Jesus to him or to her? Because you know they're struggling. You know they bring nothing before God, and that troubles their hearts. You know they're crying out with the jailer, "What do I have to do to be saved?" You get to love your neighbor by telling your neighbor that that person is pre-qualified for heaven, that that person has a perfect spiritual credit score through Jesus, that that person has all the assets that Jesus accumulated and won and has given for free. We get to love our neighbor. Just something for you to chew on this morning. And so when we look at this day and the pre-qualification event that is the baptism of our Lord, it's not one of these. It's not too good to be true. It doesn't come with so many hoops to jump through. It doesn't come through so many hoops to jump through. It doesn't have a little star at the end that's going to say this doesn't apply in your situation. It doesn't apply until you bring this. It doesn't apply until you fix this. It's the reality. God pre-qualified his Son to be our Savior, and Jesus did everything necessary to be that. Jesus has pre-qualified you to be his child. To God alone be the glory for sharing the comfort of his Son's baptism, as well as the comfort of your baptism in our pre-qualified Savior. Amen. Please stand. At this point in our service, we join together to praise our God for the great things he has done and for who he is. We do so with the song, "We Praise You, O God," on page 10 in the worship booklet for this morning.
Thank you.
our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember Marilyn Zolinardo, who underwent a surgery this last week and will face about a 2 to 3 week recovery and recuperation period. We've also been asked to remember Hal Tritch, who was hospitalized this last week following a seizure and is recovering at Kaiser in Roseville, as well as Norman Hatfield, that's the father of Bill Hatfield, who is very near to death at this time. So we will entrust these brothers and sisters to God's care in the responsive prayer of the church. O Heavenly Father, we come before you this day in thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for revealing yourself at the baptism of Jesus. There you declared the one born in Bethlehem and adored by the Magi to be your dearly loved Son, in whom you are well pleased.
Enable all of us to find in him our hope and salvation.
As you anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, so pour out that same Spirit on us, that we may serve you in the world. Take from us all fear and doubt. Overcome our laziness and indecision, and drive the ugliness of sin from our lives.
Lord, the glory is true, that as you are baptized children, we are your priests in this world.
Grant your strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries.
May they proclaim your word with fervor and diligence, and so bring light to those who sit in darkness.
In your mercy, bring help and healing to the sick and the afflicted.
By your grace, enable them to cast their care on you, knowing that you care for them.
And so this morning, dear Heavenly Father, we cast our burdens and the burdens of our brothers and sisters upon you. We thank you that you brought Marilyn safely through her surgery. We ask that you bless her recovery. If it is your will, relieve her pain and bless those treatments that will make her body strong. We also pray for our brother, Hal Tritch. We ask that you continue to guide those who are treating him and researching the cause of his seizure. Again, we ask that if it is your will, that you would restore him. And we ask that you would give his wife and his family strength to stand beside him and to be with him as well. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our brother Bill as he entrusts his father to your care. It is never easy for us to say goodbye to our loved ones, so we ask that you deal tenderly with Bill and with his family. Give him the hope and strength and comfort that can only come from you, the Savior who was revealed to us and to the world. May we all together rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we worship with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as at this time we worship our God with our offerings.
Thank you.
Our worship continues with another song from the Blue Hymn Book, hymn 710. Turn to page 13 for our concluding liturgy and prayers. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Please remain standing as we close with stanzas 3 and 5 of hymn 91. Welcome again and good morning to all of you in the name of Jesus, who is your pre-qualified perfect Savior. May he give you comfort, hope, and peace this week as you live for him. If you enjoyed worshiping with this service today, we use an abbreviated form of this service every Wednesday for morning chapel here at our grade school. Starts between 8:20 and 8:30. So if you'd like to come and worship on Wednesday morning with the kids, we would love to have you. And it's a great week. It's a nice little break, in a good way to put a nice little break in the middle of your week. So please consider joining us Wednesday morning for morning praise in chapel. I have a number of things to share with you. First, there is going to be an LWMS meeting, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society meeting, this Saturday, the 17th, at 10 a.m. in one of the rooms, either the Luther Room or the library. So take note of that meeting, please. This, not this week, but the following week, we are going to be visited by the Accreditation Committee. And so we would like to spruce up the campus one more time. There's an announcement in the service booklet with more information about that, but that special cleanup is going to be next Saturday, beginning at 8 a.m. It might be a good idea to contact Bentley Mimka and let him know that you are available to help, or just show up so that we can spruce up our campus, as the announcement says, the best we can in the middle of January for that visiting team. Also, as far as offering goes, you have offering statements, you have offering envelopes, and you still have the opportunity to submit your offering commitment for the upcoming year. So please grab those materials. It saves a lot in postage. And if it works out for you, submit your commitment so we can continue our planning. Next Sunday is a special anniversary service. Please take note of all the details that are in the announcement section and make plans to attend that service. Finally, following These announcements, we will have the Wells Connection, and following the second service today, we have a special voters meeting to talk about our congregational mission offering. So go have a donut and come back so we can take care of this very important business as soon as possible after the second service today. We'll get caught up with what's going on in our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And again, there is an accompanying insert in your worship booklet if you'd like more information about the topic.